I want to preach the word this morning and give you something that the Lord has laid on my heart. And if you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. And I'll give you just a moment to turn there as I give an introduction here on why I'm preaching this message. And we're preaching on overcoming addiction. And all of us have dealt with this in our life, even in our personal lives, or we have family, or we have friends who have dealt with these things in their life. And all of us have been impacted by this. We've been affected by this. You take the opioid epidemic and other things that have just caused a lot of issues and problems in our society, even locally here in our world, in our community. And so the Lord had laid it upon my heart to preach biblically, to preach out of the Word of God on how we can overcome addiction. And I just want to let you know that if you're here today and maybe you might be struggling with maybe a certain kind of addiction or whatever it may be, I just want to tell you there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We're not here to condemn people, but we are here to help people and to show them, hey, there's a solution. There's a solution. There is a way out. Everybody say there's a way out. Amen. There's a way out. And so as we read the Word of God this morning, it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confess and forsakes them shall have mercy. Whoever renounces them finds mercy. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that there is freedom and deliverance in your confession. When we begin to confess unto God, and we begin to confess to each other what we're going through, some of the troubles that we go through, the sins that we have, when we begin to open up, we must open up so that we may heal up. And guys, we've got to get to the point to where we could be transparent with each other. Be transparent to God and say, God, I'm not perfect. God, this is what I struggle with. This is my issue. Because if we can't get to the point to where we can admit, there will be no solution for us. So we have to get to the point to where we have to admit, yes, I do have a problem. Yes, I do have an issue. Yes, this is what I struggle with. And you know what? You will find freedom in that when you begin to say, yep, this is it. Yeah, I am. I've sinned. I've messed up. I've got flaws. I've got failures. I've messed up. But praise God, there is a God of mercy and there is a God of grace. When I begin to open up, I heal up. Can you say that with me? Open up to heal up. And that's what God wants us to do. In Romans chapter 6, verse 12, it says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you would obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. You know, sin won't be your master when you trust God. So here's my question to you this morning. What has mastered you? What has mastered you? What's mastering you in your life? Are you a slave or are you free? Are you in prison or are you free? Are you walking in the freedom that God has for you? Are you mastered by something in your life? Let me ask you a few questions. Do your family and friends say you may have a problem? Do you continue even though you're hurting other people? Do you arrange your schedule around it? Whatever that may be. Can you go 1 week without it? Is it leading you to isolation? Is it leading you back to isolate yourself from everyone, the people who love you, the people who want to help you? Are you trying to keep it a secret? These are telltale signs that you may be having a struggle, an issue, a cycle, an addiction that you just can't seem to shake. But I'm here to tell you that the addiction that you just can't seem to shake, Jesus Christ can shake it out of your life. You just got to begin to confess it unto Him and be open. Amen. Amen. So don't keep it a secret. Just begin to open up about it and say, yes, I need help. And you know what? People who have approached Jesus saying, I need help, have never been turned down. Jesus will never turn away anyone who says, I need help. But when you get to the point to where you could say, I need help, no matter how long it takes, it's a process. It may take 6 months. It may take a year. It may take 2 years. But praise God, He is a God of freedom and a God of mercy. And He will save you and heal you. But you must open up. You must open up. the cycle of destruction can continue in our life. You know, sometimes our addiction becomes a part of our identity, doesn't it? We can become addicted for so long to something that we let it define who we are. Well, I've been doing this for years and years, and this is who I really am. And I've lost friends, and I've made people mad, and I've just had a terrible life. And this is who I really am. I've been addicted. Well, I'm here to correct you in love this morning. Your addiction is not who you are. That's not who you are. Let me tell you who you are. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. That's who you really are. That's who you really are. God created you in His likeness and in His image. And Jesus loves you so much that He will save you and heal you, and you don't have to be stuck in a cycle of destruction. Can I get an amen? Amen. You don't have to be stuck. See, when you try to quit but fail, and sometimes you just feel hopeless and helpless because you feel like you're in a cycle, and any threat to your addiction, it just becomes a threat to you. You lose your friends. You lose money. You lose your health. You even lose your family. And then you just wound your struggling self-esteem because of it. And lastly, you just ease the pain by just getting your next fix. And I'm just here to tell you that along with addiction can come shame and guilt. But you don't have to live in shame no more. And you don't have to live in guilt no more. Yes, you've lost a lot of stuff. Yes, you've been through some hard times and some terrible times. And you've been through some dark valleys. But Jesus Christ still has mercy to show unto you. There's still grace for you. And there's still hope for you. And there's still help for you. I don't care how many pills you took. I don't care how many joints you smoked. I don't care what you took. There is still hope for you. Still hope. There's still help for you available. I want to give you some advice this morning. The first thing you need to do is just rid the excuses. How many knows our excuses can leave us in trouble? It could lead us into trouble, and we just got to get rid of them. In Luke chapter 14, verse 18, it says, Jesus said, "But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' And then the third one said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.'" And Jesus was inviting them to a feast. He was inviting them. And so they all began to make excuses. And I'm here to tell you that we just need to cut our excuses off and say, "You know what? I have made many excuses in my life." Every individual in here, me, you, all of us, we have made excuses. But we've got to get to the point to where we say, "You know what? I need to stop trying to justify what I'm doing. I need to stop trying to justify the things I do in my life and just say, I have no excuses. I just rely fully and dependent upon God the Father." Amen. Because our excuses can lead us into trouble. And you say, "Well, I can't do it." That's an excuse. "I can't overcome." It's an excuse. "Well, you don't know what I've been through." It's another excuse. "Well, you don't understand." I may not understand, but it's still an excuse. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And all of us have family members and we have friends that's been through stuff and been addicted. You need to start quoting the word over them. It won't return unto them void. It won't return unto them empty. Just begin to quote the word over them and say, "You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can't do it in your own strength. You must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to overcome. We are more than conquerors." You just need to quote that over your family and quote that over your life and say, "We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus who loves us and gave himself for us." Amen. So we need to get rid of the excuses in our life. Another way to defeat addiction in our life is we got to cut the ties. We got to get rid of our ties. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Do not be misled. Bad company, evil communications corrupt good manners." Right? Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. So guys, I'm here to tell you that your associations, you may have to cut off those ties with other people, and you're going to have to avoid, you know, the Bible says abstain from the appearance of evil. And guys, you may not be, you might think you're strong enough to withstand the temptation, but I'm here to tell you that once you start getting off that stuff, listen, don't trust your flesh, run away. Don't trust your flesh, run away. Don't go next to the temptation. Don't put yourself in a situation where you would fall again. Run away. Run to the people of God. Run to the name of Jesus Christ. Run to the strong tower. Run to the church. Run to the family of God. Run away from the temptation. My question to you this morning is, what kind of ties do you need to cut off in your life? Well, I've known them for a long time. I know, but your soul is hanging in the balance. Well, I've known them for a long time, I know, but right now you got to make some hard decisions and you got to do something you've never done in order to get the results you've never had. You got to do something different. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He'll get away from you when you submit yourself to God and surrender to him. Amen? And guys, we also got to fill the void. We got to get rid of the excuses. We got to cut off those associations to people who get us in trouble. How many's ever been around people that always got you in trouble? Right? I believe all of us can lift our hands on that one. And so we got to have discernment and have some boundaries in our lives. And guys, we got to fill the void. So we got rid of the excuses. We're cutting off the association. Now we're asking the Lord, Holy Spirit, fill me so that I may walk and follow you the rest of my days. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess and debauchery, another translation says. But it says, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants you to be filled with His character. God wants you to be filled with His power. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 10. Paul said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. When you are weak, he is strong. At your weakest point, when you think you're hopeless and you think you're helpless and there's no hope for you, you can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you say, I need help, and when you say, Lord, save me, he's not going to turn you away. He's going to save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then the Apostle Paul says this. He says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. So Paul is saying, I brag on my weakness so I can brag upon the strength and power of God. And this is how I overcome. I don't overcome by saying I can do it. I overcome because he can do it. Everybody say this with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. At my weakest, he is strongest. And then he says, that is why for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Isn't that good? Isn't that great? So I don't boast in how strong I am. I don't boast in that at all. I just boast in my weakness. And I say, this is the power of God that's resting up on me. I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't live holy. I can't do these things for God, not unless I have the power of the Holy Spirit working in my life. Amen. So healing takes place when we begin to open up unto Him. I've got a poem here that I want to read that I found this past week, and it really struck my spirit, and I want to read it to you. I destroy homes. I tear families apart. I take your children, and that's just the start. I'm more costly than diamonds, more costly than gold. The sorrow I bring is a sight to behold. And if you need me, remember I'm easily found. I live all around you. I live in schools, and I live in town. I live with the rich. I live with the poor. I live down the street and maybe next door. My power is awesome. Try me, you'll see. But if you do, you may never break free. Just try me once and I might let you go. But try me twice and I'll own your soul. When I possess you, you'll steal and you'll lie. And you'll do whatever it takes just to get high. The crimes you'll commit for my narcotic charms will be worth the pleasure you'll feel in your arms. You'll lie to your mom, you'll steal from your dad, and when you see their tears, you should feel sad. You'll forget your morals and how you were raised. I'll be your conscience, I'll teach you my ways. I take kids from parents and parents from kids. I turn people from God and I separate from friends. I'll take everything from you, your looks and your pride. I'll be with you always, right by your side. You'll give up everything, your family, your home, your friends, your money, and then you'll be alone. I'll take and I'll take till you have nothing more to give, and when I'm finished with you, you'll be lucky to live. If you try me, be warned, this is no game. If given the chance, I'll drive you insane. I'll ravish your body. I'll control your mind. I'll own you completely. Your soul will be mine. The nightmares I'll give you while lying in bed, the voices you'll hear from inside your head, the sweats, the shakes, the visions you'll see. I want you to know these are all gifts for me. But then it's too late, and you'll know in your heart that you are mine and we won't part. You'll regret that you tried me. They always do. But you came to me, not I to you. You knew this would happen. Many times you were told, but you challenged my power, and you chose to be bold. You could have said no and just walked away. If you could live that day over, now what would you say? I'll be your master, and you'll be my slave. I'll even go with you when you go to your grave. Now that you have met me, what will you do? Will you try me or not? It's all up to you. I can bring you more misery than words can tell. Come take my hand. Let me lead you to hell. Signed, drugs. So I'm here to tell you that this thing is no laughing matter. And if you want to make progress in your life, you must open up so that you may heal up. Because this is no game. This is no laughing matter. This is serious business. There are souls hanging in the balance. We have people who are struggling with addiction. And the church must rise up and stand up and call it out for like it is. And bring it out of the darkness. And bring it to the surface. And bring it to the light. And say there's hope for you. And by the way, for those of you that didn't feel qualified to come here today, the walls didn't fall in, did it? No. Well, hallelujah! Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ that saves a multitude from sins. I gave an interview to a person who struggled with addiction, and she overcame it. Can I get an amen? Amen. She overcame it by the power of God. And I asked her, what are some of the things that you did? What'd you do? She said, stayed away. She said, stay away. Don't get around it. Hang out with people that have your best interest in mind. Hang around your loved ones, people who love you. And she also told me this. She said, you can go to all the rehabs you want to go to, but if you don't have Jesus, you won't get free. She told me that. Now, she said, there is a place for them at times. There is a place. But she told me, she said, but if you don't have Jesus Christ, you're not going to get free, no matter what it is that you may be struggling with. That's what she said. And another question she had was, when she overcame it and she started getting the healing that she wanted, that she needed, she asked this question, why did I wait so long? Why did I wait so long? Some of you right now, I don't want you to say that question. I don't want you to ask that question. Say, well, why did I wait so long? Why did I wait till later on in life to make this decision and go ahead and defeat it and overcome it? Let me tell you, today is the day of salvation. Now's the time to receive healing and freedom and salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. And she also told me this, that some people are, or many of them are afraid of withdrawal symptoms. But I'm here to tell you that God is still God, and He'll be there with you in your withdrawal. If through the sweats and the shakes, He loves you. In the mess that you got yourself in, He loves you, and He'll get you out of the mess. And there's a message in your mess. Amen. Hallelujah. And He'll change you, and He'll redeem you, and He'll redeem your perspective and give you a platform, a testimony. I read a story this past week, and this is so amazing. I read this story and I was like, wow, and it's a true story. There was this couple, two guys, they went swimming in the ocean and a current caught them. And it was like a senior day, so they didn't go to school that day. And they were in trouble. A current, you know how that current catches you in the ocean and it just kind of takes you out there and you can't get back in. So they were out there and their lives were in danger. And so they were at the point of calling on God. And so there they are, they're out in the ocean, and they call on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're saved by a boat called the Amen. It's amazing. And lo and behold, was it a coincidence? No. And so the captain of the ship, he's just going from somewhere down there to from the south all the way up to New Jersey. And they're just going along the river, and all of a sudden they hear a cry. They hear people hollering, "Help! Help! Save me!" And lo and behold, and when the captain told those boys, when he told them and said, "The name of this ship is the Amen," they began to cry and began to praise God while they were on the vessel and began to praise the Lord. And I'm here to tell you this morning, when you begin to call upon the Lord, I don't care how far out in the ocean you are. I don't care if you're about to drown. I don't care how hopeless. I don't care how helpless the situation may look. Jesus Christ is there for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Can I get an amen? Well, hallelujah. So I don't care where you've been. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care what the circumstance is. I don't care where you're from. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. The Holy Spirit, God the Father, is there to show mercy on you and to help you. Amen? I want to be saved. Don't you? Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you this morning we got to help publish the Word of God and help spread the Word of God through the giving of the offering. And Father, we thank you that you've blessed this offering today. But Father, we also thank you that you saved us in our time of need. When other people gave up on us, when other people thought there was no hope and the enemy began to attack us and attack our mind and began to attack our thought life to tell us that we have no chance, that we have no hope. Father, I thank you for saving us. And Father, Lord, if there's anyone here today that may be struggling with whatever addiction it is, Father, I pray that it be taken out. Eliminated in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't know Jesus Christ in a personal relationship, I urge you to do that today. But maybe you struggle with addiction today. That's what we've been preaching on. Maybe you got a loved one who's struggling with an addiction. Come up to the front and pray and ask God to bring healing to them and to touch them. Whatever it is you may be struggling with, you know, we have to open up so we can heal up, don't we? Maybe you have the stuff with you today. Let me urge you to just leave it at the altar. I don't care what it is. Whatever it is you're struggling with or addicted to, just leave it at the altar and just stomp it with your feet and say, "I will not be a slave anymore because of the power of Jesus Christ." And so I welcome you as we sing for this altar call. As y'all come on up, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? What is the Holy Spirit telling you this morning? Come pray. Pastor, what will people think about me? Open up so you may heal up. It doesn't matter. We love each other. We're family. We want to see God move in our lives. Amen. And maybe, as I said earlier, you have a loved one that may be struggling with addiction bad, and you don't know how long they can make it. Intercede for them and stand in the gap for them and don't give up on them. Amen? Amen. So if that's you, I'm going to be standing here, and I'll pray with you. If you want to come to me, I'll pray with you. Or if you just want to kneel, if you just want to kneel at the altar and pray, just pray and ask God. to take that, to take that addiction away, to break those chains away. Amen. Hallelujah. So I invite you today, listen to the Holy Spirit. What's He telling you today? In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.